Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm thankful to have the academy students here and high schoolers, and college students, and I don't take it for granted the ministry. I'm thankful for the ministry of Landmark Baptist Church and Landmark Christian College, Baptist College, and it's a blessing to be nearby. Our church benefits from this ministry, and I do as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is a passage that was on my mind when I was thinking about starting the school year, and you know, we have different stages here. We've got our academy students, sixth graders. I love sixth graders. It's an exciting place to be. And all the way up to college students, different stages in your Christian life, different stages in your academic capacities. But something that I want to impress in your heart today, if I could boil the entire message down to just one or two thoughts, and that is this, that this Bible right here, hopefully you have a Bible there with you, this Bible right here is something that you can understand and you can use in your life and in the life of other people. If you are old enough to read and to memorize Scripture, God's Word can work in your life, you can understand it, and you can use it. The simple truth of God's Word is powerful. How many believe that today? But I'll take it a step further, and I'll tell you this, not all of God's Word is simple. There are some things that you need to study harder. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there are things that take more study, but even those things are knowable. The use of God's word, the power of God's word, starts with very simple, and it progresses even to the complex, but it's always within our capacity if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Look at the first few verses of chapter 2. The scripture says, but I determined this with myself. I'm in 2 Corinthians. Please forgive me. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He came with the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Look at verse 5. This is really the reason why he handled himself the way he did when he came to the church, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. For a few minutes today, I want to preach from simple to complex by God's Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please help us today. Give me efficiency as I communicate these truths. Help each one here to understand that the truth of your word is within their grasp. And yet, we have a lifelong journey of seeking to understand and apply the rest of your word. But dear Lord, it is knowable. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us not to have our eyes on men and on celebrity Christianity, but on the truth of your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Paul the Apostle, writing here to the church at Corinth, he had planted this church, and then he left it, and some problems arose. The church at Corinth was kind of like American Christianity in some ways. The church at Corinth got distracted with big-name preachers. And what we find is, in chapter 1, there were problems in the church. The church developed a taste for their favorite preacher, and they didn't really care to hear from anybody else. And they started to separate based on personality and based on ability and based on the person's reputation. And, you know, you have churches like that today where somebody will hear that, you know, a special speaker is coming, and so this person who hasn't been to church in a month finally shows up because they want to hear that certain person, all right, instead of the Word of God. And the church at Corinth was kind of like that. In fact, they had a division in the church. Some of them said, well, I'm of Paul. And another person said, I'm of Apollos. And another camp said, well, I'm of Peter or Cephas. And another group said, I'm of Jesus. and nobody was following the pastor. We don't even know who the pastor was in this church. They were so divided because they were so distracted with people, following humans. So Paul says, when I came in with a simple message. Understand this, young people. The most effective Christian is not the person who has the biggest vocabulary. The most effective Christian is not the one with the most personality or the farthest reach or the most meetings or the person who's the oldest, the person who's the most outgoing. The most effective Christian is the one who stays plugged in, reading and obeying the Word of God. So what did Paul do? He says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. God's power was displayed through a simple message, the simple gospel, not with excellency of speech. He didn't, you know, talk about all these big 50-cent words or wisdom. Now, he could have told them a lot of things and showed them all of his knowledge and charts. They didn't have PowerPoints back then. It was probably papyri or, you know, stone tablets, whatever. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. He could have waxed eloquent on all of his journeys that he went places. And sometimes it's impressive to hear what people know. But he didn't do that. In fact, he says this, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Young people, look up here. You know, one thing I've noticed about young people and adults alike is that one of the chief reasons we don't share our faith is that we think it's too complicated. We think it's too difficult. You know, I need to work up charisma. That's the word these days. You got to have the riz, right? Or whatever it is. Got to work up charisma in order to connect with people so they'll listen to me, give me their ears. I have to know all the answers to all the questions. You know what Paul said when he came to the church? He said, I didn't do any of that. I gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know how simple the gospel is? Well, you're there in 1 Corinthians. Look over at chapter 15. Verse 1, he says, I declare unto you the, what's that word? Declare unto you the gospel. Somebody saw it. The gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand. What is the gospel, Paul? Well, look down at verse 3. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. Students, can we say that together? Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's pretty simple, is it not? How many of you guys can remember that? Yeah, most of you. The rest of you are asleep. That's the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Yeah, Pastor, but what about the book of Revelation? They don't need to know that to get saved. Well, what about all these other things? Paul says, I limited it to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, he was really brave, Pastor. No, look at verse 3. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. What? He was afraid? Yeah, because he actually might have been stoned, okay? He had things to be afraid of. Sometimes when we share the gospel, we're afraid that somebody won't listen to us. They won't give us affirmation. Paul was afraid of actually being persecuted, of killed, thrown in prison. But he said he did it anyway. My speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He didn't stand in front of a mirror and work for hours on end trying to come up with illustrations and witty jokes. It was accompanied with human weakness. I think it's interesting when you read through the Word of God, this powerful man used powerfully by God was not a powerful person to look at or listen to. In fact, the Scripture says he wasn't much to look at. His speech was contemptible. He was probably a short guy. And so I kind of like him. Us short guys, you know, we could do that. So how did he make a difference? It was anointed by God's power. Verse 4. It was not with enticing words, but the demonstration of spirit and power. Where did the power come from? From God's word. Anybody here know what the text of Romans 10:17 says? If you know what that text is, raise your hand. If you know it, say it with me. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, you know where the power is. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, finish it with me, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. A simple message. And you know what? What happens is when you go and you start sharing your faith, if you're in sixth grade, 11, 12 years old, 13 years old, Pastor, I've only been saved a couple months. That's okay. You can remember how you got saved. And when you share that truth, guess who gets the glory? Not you. God gets the glory if somebody gets saved, right? Because you say, it's certainly not me. I'm scared and I'm trembling and I don't know that much. But if you know enough to tell them the gospel, they can get saved. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So when you share the truth or when you're encouraged this year, starting out the academic year, understand, you can understand the Bible. God's Spirit can teach it to you, and you can give the simple message of the gospel, and people still get saved. I got to lead a 40-year-old man to the Lord this past week. He was an agnostic up until a couple months ago. Why? Because of the power of God's Word. Well, Pastor, you're a pastor, and you know all of these things. Yeah, but I didn't wax eloquent when I was talking with him. I just told him the gospel. When reaching the lost, remember it's the power of God's Word. But then, recognize this, God's powerful Word is not always simple. See, I'm not just dealing with sixth graders and seventh graders, but all the way up to Bible college students, and some of you have been saved longer than our Bible college students have been alive. Amen. Praise God. Studying God's Word is a lifelong journey because not all of it is simple. The message of wisdom is for spiritually mature. Look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak, what's that word there? Wisdom among them that are perfect. That word teleos is spiritually mature. He said, so we start out with the simple, but then we go to that which is a little more complex, and we wait until the person can handle it. That's why in church, what do? We have graduated classes, some little, some a little bit older. In fact, you might say, well, Pastor, is that really a biblical concept? Oh, yeah, it is. In chapter 3, he says, you guys are carnal. I can't teach you what I want to teach you because you're not mature enough yet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says that. The author of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5 says that. He says, I want to keep teaching you. You're not ready yet. And so listen, the Word of God is simple as we get saved, but there is wisdom, and we have to study to know that wisdom. We start with the simple truth, but then we continue. Look at verse 6, though. Even the complicated truth, though, it's not learned because somebody is super smart with a high IQ, but because of God's Spirit. It says, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. So we don't gauge our ability to understand Bible truth based on some IQ test. A lot of colleges today, they will have intake exams, and they'll, you know, whether or not this person's a good prospect, whether or not they can grasp the content. Can I tell you what's going to make the most difference whether or not you understand this book? It's not this, it's this. It's how you apply your heart to the Word of God, and then God's Spirit can teach you. So even the depth of God's Word, it's given to us because God can teach us. And it's not concocted or dreamed up. God is the source. And some, you know, I talk with people every day, Christians who have been saved for a number of years, and they say, well, Pastor, yeah, I know all of that, but I don't want to really spend time on the complicated parts of God's Word. I'll stick to the simple stuff. Well, friend, you're limiting your growth. God has given us His Word for us to study. How much of it? Well, all of it, or He wouldn't have given it to us, right? Look at verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God gave His Word in the Old Testament, and had they known it, had they studied it, so many of them would not have cried, crucify Him. They would have recognized the Messiah when He came. I'd say that's pretty important, wouldn't you? Yeah. It's interesting, that word mystery, that's a technical term, I believe. It refers to a truth taught in the Old Testament, but revealed in the New Testament. pictures and types and figures in the Old Testament that God did give to them. And had they studied, had they known, as Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you would believe me. But they didn't know the mystery. They didn't know the author. And so when Christ came, they didn't recognize him. And Paul says, we teach these things. The princes of the world didn't know it. I'd say it's pretty important to know God's word. Listen, we need to, now God doesn't want us to try and make God's word difficult to understand. I also meet some knuckleheads who try to come up with weird ways of interpreting God's word. And what about this and all these meanings behind the words? Okay, that's foolishness. Instead of that, what we need to do is we need to submit ourselves to receive the truths of God. And even those truths that cause us to think. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to submit to him. Those things that cause us to think, we're to receive and we're to continue growing and willingly receive all scripture, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much scripture? Okay, and therefore it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be perfect, spiritually mature, truly furnished unto all good works. And if you say, well, I'm just going to stick to the simple stuff, you're limiting your spiritual maturity. So the message of wisdom is for the spiritually mature, but the message of wisdom is from God. Verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I got to confess, for years I read verse 9 without reading verse 10, and I didn't realize what it was talking about. Anybody ever here stop short of the point when you're reading Scripture? You don't do that. Keep reading. Read in context. What is God telling us here? In context, what God is telling us is, you can't know what God has for you. You can't know the mind of God on issues in the world unless you're reading the Word of God. Because eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard. You can sit out there and try to imagine what's going to happen and stick your finger in the air and check the temperature and say, well, I look at these signs and those signs and I listen to that guy and I just have a feeling. Well, unless you're reading, hearing from God, you're not going to know what God is going to do. Well, I'm thankful that God has told us what he's going to do. He's given us his word. He's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, when it talks about God revealing by his Spirit what he's going to do in your life, what he has for you in the future, heavens included, it's not talking about extra biblical visions. The Spirit did what? He wrote it down. He authored this, and then he indwells the reader, and he's the best teacher. Remember, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6. So the message of wisdom is from God. God's Word is so simple that you can use it to, you can understand it, you can use it to share the gospel, regardless of where you're at in your Christian journey. But God's Word also contains some truths that are a little bit harder to understand. If you ever feel like you're struggling to understand the Word of God, you're probably right. Because the Apostle Peter even said, hey, the Apostle Paul, he wrote some things down that are hard for me to understand. Amen. So what do? We just keep studying and let the Spirit tell us. See, God's plans for the future, God's plans for the church, God leading us along, they're in his word, and we obey his word, we come into contact with God's plan for us in the future. It's because God himself knows what he wants to do, and if we want to know what God wants to do, we need to listen to God's word and to God's Spirit. Look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. What is that saying, Pastor? Well, it's simply saying this. What's your name, young man? Zach. I can't know what Zach is thinking. Now, I can observe him. I can have kind of an idea. I can influence his thinking. But I can't know what he's thinking as well as Zach knows what he's thinking. The spirit of man that is within him knows what he is thinking. So if I want to know what he's thinking, I can ask him. what he's thinking. If I want to know what God is thinking, I don't find it out by imagining things. I don't find it out by talking to other people. I find it out by reading what he's written down because he's told us what he's thinking. Are you with me? Now listen, God did not tell us everything that we want to know in his word, but he told us everything that he wants us to know in his word. And we've got a lot to study, I would say. And so the message of God's wisdom is from God. So somebody stands up and they say, well, I know what God is thinking. I might listen to him, but if they don't start quoting God's word, I don't want to hear it. Because this is what God is thinking. God's word is simple, but God's word also has plenty of room to grow. But friend, understand this, it is knowable. You can understand the Bible. Do you believe that today? Young men over here, do you believe that you can understand the Bible? You say, Pastor, I don't understand it all. That's okay, me neither. But we can understand some, and we can understand more. And God's Holy Spirit that lives in us, he can teach us more. That's why we come to church. That's why we go to Christian school. That's why we study our Bibles. That's why we listen to the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you this, the more you listen to him and obey him, the more you'll understand him. A lot of times Christians don't understand the Bible. It's because they're not obeying what God has already told them. The message of God's word is knowable to those who have his spirit. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because if you're saved, God's spirit lives in you. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is, what's those next two words? Let's try that again. The spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know, I'm thankful that we as independent Baptists believe that when you get saved, God's Holy Spirit moves in right then. I'm not waiting for some second gift of the Holy Spirit at some time in the future. It's his Spirit that converts me into Jesus Christ and makes me a new creature by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, God lives inside of you. Young people, do you realize that? Do you realize that God himself lives inside of you? The author of Scripture. So try this next time. If you're reading God's word and you don't understand something, just pause and ask the author. You ever done that? If you're saved, he lives in you. I've done that a lot. Now, sometimes God says, I don't think you're ready for it, and I don't get it, and so I just keep going. And then at some time in the future, guess what? He says, okay, now I'm going to show you. We have to trust him. The author of Scripture lives in us that we might know freely those things. The author of Scripture should guide the teaching of Scripture. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'm a pastor, but I'm still growing in my capacity and learning and understanding of the Word of God. And every once in a while, I have to go back because there are things that this person taught me and that person taught me and this person thought. And guess what? We're all fallible. If you're a human, you're going to make mistakes. If you're a human, you're going to draw the wrong conclusions. You're going to jump to conclusions. You're going to read something wrong. And so we have to be teachable. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Listen, there's things sometimes you will hear from the Word of God if you're saved very long, and you'll hear a truth from God's Word, and you'll go, that just doesn't sit right. I don't know if I like that. Guess what? That's because your wisdom may not line up with the wisdom of God's Word. A lot of times it doesn't. And guess who needs to change? We need to change. Which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now here's the trouble. The trouble is that an unsaved person won't get it. Verse 14, the natural man, the person without the Spirit of God, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. That's why college students, that's why you'll have very educated people with a lot of letters behind their name trying to tell you what the Word of God says. And if they're not saved, they can't know the Word of God. They can't preach out of a paper bag. Don't listen to them. They're not indwelt by the author. They're not an accurate, trustworthy source of information about this book. This is a spiritual book. And we need to be taught by the Spirit of God. It's foolishness unto him. I think about this. The natural man, that person that you are as you were born in your flesh, they don't hear from the Spirit. And Paul says they can hear the gospel. Pastor, does that mean they can't hear the gospel? No, they can hear the gospel, but they can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. However, believers can use judgment in knowing the truth of God. Look at verse 15. By the way, this thought goes with verse 14. The unsaved person can't read the Word of God and understand. You guys remember when Philip was in the desert and he sees the chariot and he's like, oh, there's a chariot. And the Spirit says, hey, join yourself under that chariot. So he goes over there and the Ethiopian eunuch's in the chariot. You guys tracking so far? You know? Okay. And the guy's reading the book of Isaiah. And the Ethiopian eunuch is reading it, and Philip says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? Huh? What you got there? You ever done that before? As a believer, you see somebody reading a Bible, and you go, what you got there? And they got a Bible. Do you understand that? I do that sometimes as a pastor. I say, do you understand that? And what did the eunuch say? He said, how can I unless somebody explained it to me? That was so transparent. And he's right. He couldn't understand it because the imagery needed to be explained, directed by God. And when Philip says, oh, I can tell you about this, and he preached Jesus Christ, what happened? That man got saved. Why? Because he that's spiritual judgeth all things. Now, that's not an endorsement for you to be super judgy about other people, okay? That means you can have discernment by God's Spirit when you read the Word of God, yet he himself is judged of no man. Sometimes I'll explain something from Scripture when I'm witnessing or talking to somebody, and the unsaved person will say, how did you get that from that? That doesn't make any sense. They don't have judgment biblically. But you can. It's within your grasp. If you'll simply understand that God's Word is understandable, that His Spirit lives inside of you, and all you need to do is be faithful in reading it, faithful in obeying it, and allow Him to lead you and help you grow. So the Scripture says, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Remember we talked about, I can't know what? What's your name again? Zach. I don't have a good short-term memory either, Zach. Sorry about that. I can't know what Zach is thinking in his mind unless Zach tells me. Well, Pastor, how do I know what God is thinking? Well, because he has told us, and he indwells us, and if we submit to him, the Scripture says here, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Man, I wonder what God is thinking. You don't have to wonder. Open your Bible. And God will tell you. Listen, there is so much uncertainty these days because I think one tool of the devil is to convince so many that the pastor, I love Pastor Parsons, he's my friend. He understands the Word of God. Brother Vassalis, he understands the Word of God. Your teachers, they understand the Word of God. All in different ways, all in different capacities. And you might say, oh, well, they're a professor, or they've been saved for so many years, or my teacher, they know the Word of God. Listen, if you can read and if you are saved, you can know the Word of God. And one tool of the devil is to convince you that because you don't understand it all, that you can't understand it at all, and that's a lie. You have to grow, but you have to start. You know, as I draw to a close, one or two applications. The simple message of the gospel is the truth we need to share for people to know Christ. Earlier, we talked about the gospel. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Can you say that with me? Let's say that together. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That is the truth necessary for somebody to believe to get saved. Now, if you just quoted that with me, you have the ammo necessary to do what God has called you to do. Are you with me? That's simple. But the truth goes beyond simple. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I can go beyond that. Absolutely you can. I got faith in you. God does. He called you to. Study. That's why you're here. And never stop. See, if you've been saved very long, God expects you to grow. He doesn't expect you to get complacent. He doesn't expect you to say, I've heard this message before. Oh, it's that Bible story. I'm just going to sit back and relax, pull out my phone, hope nobody notices. I'm not going to take notes. I'm going to draw pictures. I don't need to know this. You're wasting your opportunity to grow and become like Jesus Christ. See, all of God's truth is from God, both the milk and the meat. And God expects us to continually grow in our application, in our learning, in our obedience. So ask yourself this: what have I learned recently? What thing have I learned recently that I'm obeying? What truth do I struggle with? And where can I improve? I'll close with this scripture verse. John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus is speaking with some people that should have known the word of God. And he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you," it influences your life, "it shall make you free." Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll turn over the service. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. I pray, Lord, that we would go against the spirit of the age, elevating people beyond what we should, falling victim to the wrong conclusion that your word is unknowable, that it's out of reach. Dear Lord, that we can't use it. I pray, God, that you'd help the students to apply themselves to know the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, that you would help them to understand that there is wisdom in your word that they can apply, that they can know, that will save them, that you want to teach them and show them your plan for their lives, that it's knowable by your spirit, that they would continue. Dear Lord, that they would have faith that they can know the mind of Christ by reading the words of Christ. In your name I pray. Amen. Brother Salas.